This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm Linda Wertheimer, in for Steve Inskeep, who's on assignment. President Bush has named Judge John G. Roberts, Jr. to fill the Supreme Court vacancy created by the retirement of Justice Sandra Day O'Connor. The president's announcement last night came after the White House spent the day dangling false leads for the press to pursue. The day of misinformation added both confusion and drama to last night's primetime announcement. NPR's legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
With the grandeur of the White House East Room as a backdrop, the president proudly introduced his nominee to the nation, describing him as a distinguished judge who reflects the president's own conservative values.
He has the qualities Americans expect in a judge: experience, wisdom, fairness, and civility.
The 50-year-old Roberts, accompanied by his wife and two small children, looked as though he was imprinting this moment on his memory forever. But when it was his turn to speak, he was as poised and unhesitating as when he's argued before the very court he's now been nominated to serve on.
I always got a lump in my throat whenever I walked up those marble steps to argue a case before the court, and I don't think it was just from the nerves.
In choosing Roberts, President Bush passed over women and minority candidates he'd been considering, rejected the publicly expressed desire of his wife to have a woman replace the retiring O'Connor, and may have disappointed many in the Hispanic community who had hoped that they might finally have their own first. But in choosing a member of the Washington legal establishment, the president picked a nominee with friends and admirers in both parties, a nominee with a sparse judicial record to attack, because he's only been on the federal bench for 2 years, and a nominee widely respected for his intellect and integrity. A top honors graduate of Harvard College and Harvard Law School, Roberts clerked for then-Justice William Rehnquist, and from then on became a fixture in Washington. He served as associate counsel to President Reagan, as special assistant to Mr. Reagan's Attorney General William French Smith, and then, during the administration of the president's father, he served as deputy to Kenneth Starr, arguing the administration's positions in the Supreme Court. Unlike some of the men he served with, though, Roberts is a man with a sunshine personality, a man with tons of friends and few, if any, enemies. He's an all-American boy from a prosperous Midwestern family who's likely to look more like Clark Kent than Robert Bork in a confirmation hearing. Perhaps knowing all this, Democrats held their fire yesterday, but warned that they intended to probe the nominee's judicial philosophy. Senator Patrick Leahy is the ranking Democrat on the Senate Judiciary Committee.
No one is entitled to a free pass to a lifetime appointment to the Supreme Court. Someone confirmed today can be expected to serve on the court until the year 2030 or later.
Particularly overjoyed yesterday was the business community, because Roberts, as a private lawyer, has so often represented business interests in the Supreme Court. But social conservatives pronounce themselves pleased, too. Troy Newman is president of the pro-life Operation Rescue.
We're thrilled. He believes that the Constitution is not a living and breathing document, and a man that will look at it and say that a woman does not have the right to kill her child.
In contrast, liberal and pro-choice groups were dismayed. MoveOn.org denounced the nominee as a, quote, right-wing crony. The National Abortion Rights Action League called the nomination highly questionable and pointed to the fact that Roberts, as Deputy Solicitor General, had written a brief urging the reversal of Roe v. Wade. Pro-choice advocates noted, too, that Roberts' lawyer wife is a former top officer of an anti-abortion group called Feminists for Life. Nancy Keenan is president of the National Abortion Rights Action League.
He wasn't just a government lawyer doing the bidding of a client. I think that he was exercising power in the Justice Department, and I think that he was very clear in some of his writings when he specifically added that the court's conclusions in Roe, that there is a fundamental right, doesn't believe that there is a fundamental right to an abortion, and that he found that no support in the text, structure, or history of the Constitution said so.
But in a demonstration of just how hard it will be for opponents to get traction for a fight against Roberts, consider the fact that President Clinton's lawyer, Robert Bennett, defended Roberts against such criticism, calling the nomination superb.
Had a Democratic president won, you wouldn't be picking John Roberts because he's a conservative. But I think those people have got to sit back and think long and hard before they attack an excellent jurist and someone who I think will prove to be a superb Supreme Court justice.
Today, Roberts will start making the rounds on Capitol Hill. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.